Thank you. Good morning. It's lovely to be here to share Palm Sunday with you. Also to think about your theme of space and place this morning that I understand you've been looking at. And to sort of tell you more about Crossroads if you don't know about us, but also to update you, as I know that many of you do know about our work already. When I was about 20, I used to be a student nurse on a heart ward. And one day, I went up to one of the patients, a man in his sort of late 60s, and I said, "Oh, how are you?" And he burst into tears. So I pulled the curtains round, and I sat on the bed while he just sort of poured out his heart, really, and he talked about how frightened he'd been when he'd had his heart attack and he thought he was going to die, his fears for the future, his concerns for his wife. And I sat there at 20, petrified, because I didn't know what to say to him. I had no idea of how to respond to his distress. So the result was I sat there and I didn't say anything. This went on for about 20 minutes, and at the end of it, he said to me, "Thank you so much. You have been such a help." I learned something really valuable that day. I learned that communication is actually far more than words. We're so advanced now, aren't we, in our technology. Our communication is so fast. I mean, I'm still amazed that I can send an email to about 20 people all at the same time if I want, or I can text about 15 different people. I'm not very quick at it, but I can do it. We can do everything so fast. Our communication has improved amazingly. Everything is supposed to be so much easier, so much accessible, quicker. So how is it that in our world of improved communication, actually more people are feeling isolated and so many more people are suffering from mental health problems? You may have been aware of the publicity in the media at the end of last year when they published new mental health statistics, with the very frightening news that one in four of us in the space of a year may suffer from a mental health problem. More recent statistics say that one in 10 children aged between 1 and 15 have a mental health problem now. In addition to this, we know that Tower Hamlets has many of the risk factors with poor mental health, poor housing, overcrowding, unemployment, low incomes. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. So as Christians, how do we respond to the people in our community who are struggling emotionally, imprisoned by things like depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, abuse, suicidal thoughts? It was precisely that question that led three churches to get together 14 years ago and form Crossroads. And Victoria Park Baptist Church was one of those churches. And Crossroads began as a professional counselling service in the basement of this church. I'm afraid that we did have a PowerPoint presentation, but we don't have the right connecting lead, which is interesting this morning in our world of improved technology, to actually see the picture. So I need you to try and imagine what I'm talking about this morning. But what I would ask you to do is if you could turn to Isaiah 61, which can be found on page 724. So it's Isaiah 61, and we're just going to be thinking about the first three verses. Now, today is Palm Sunday, and we have that amazing picture, don't we, of Jesus, Saviour of the world, actually choosing a humble donkey for his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We know that the people were waiting for a king, for a saviour, who would exert his power and authority. Yes? A And yes, they did get a king, but they got a king who lived out his power through relationship. He lived out his power by coming alongside people and meeting them where they were, and in giving them of himself. And if you look at Isaiah's prophecy, he says, "The sovereign Lord has filled me with his spirit. He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce release to captives and freedom to those in prison. He has sent me to proclaim that the time has come when the Lord will save his people and defeat their enemies. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn and to give to those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief, a song of praise instead of sorrow." We know that Jesus came for the poor, for the captives, for the prisoners, and for the brokenhearted. Just to tell you a bit more about Crossroads, it's our desire to follow the example of Jesus. And this is what our aim is. We work with adults and children on low incomes in Tower Hamlets who are struggling emotionally. Our aim is to help them to find and know their unique value, discover ways to manage their lives and their relationships, and for the desperate and despairing, a reason to live. So how do we do that? Well, what we do is we have shop premises, as many of you know, in Roman Road, and from there we have a team of 11 part-time counsellors, most of whom are volunteers, working at the moment with 46 clients a week. And we also have a child therapy service in Arnhem Wharf Primary School on the Isle of Dogs, where we have two therapists working at the moment with 19 children. Throughout the Bible, we are offered a powerful image of humanity, of the Israelites being a people who were always longing for a place to be, for a place to become. And often that place for them was the desert, and the journey was long and it was painful. And for me, that gives us a very powerful image, maybe, of what counselling is like. So at Crossroads, we live out Isaiah 61 by offering that place and that space where we do come alongside, and we're able to use our professional skills to hear difficult, painful things, to be with both adults and children in that desert, and through that relationship to bring about lasting change and healing. I want you just to picture a counselling room in your head. Imagine two armchairs, a small coffee table. On the coffee table is a small lamp. There's a clock. There's a basket of different coloured and shaped stones on the table as well, if you can see. And there's a box of tissues. It's a very simple space. It could be a room anywhere. But it's a space that can become many different places. It can be a place of anger, where hurt is expressed after many, many years of not being able to put a voice to it. It can be a place of tears, of mourning for people that we've lost. It can be tears of despair, of loneliness, of hopelessness, It can be a place of laughter, of celebration, of achievements and milestones that you never thought you'd be able to do, such as getting a new job or getting a new relationship. It can be a place of creativity, where a client might use stones to be different people in their lives and lay them out on the floor and think about relationships and how they work and try to make sense of their world and what's happening to them. It can be a place of a huge amount of activity and talking. It can also be a place of silence, when for different reasons there's just no way to put into words what is happening. For children in the child therapy room, it can be a place of toys and play, where they have puppets and sand trays and dolls' houses and really fun things to play with. But in that space, it becomes a place where children can express difficult feelings through play, and they can begin to understand their world, make sense of it. And I'd just like to read you the experience of a little boy called Ryan. And this is how he used that space. "I'm drawing a computer game. Well, she said I could do what I want to do, so let's see if she really means it. The game has many levels. Each time the boy has to fight his way through tunnels while enemies are attacking him. It gets harder and harder. He has to think of better and better plans. Later on, the Green Knight is on a quest to find the treasure that has been taken from him a long time ago. He is attacked by soldiers, chased by wolves, and hexed by a mean witch. However, he meets a dragon who shows him where to look, and a wizard who travels with him and helps him to overcome his obstacles. He finds the treasure and shares it with the wizard and with the people in his village back home. He made this story in the sand tray." One space, but so many different places. But what happens in that space is a relationship where two people meet, and a child or an adult can start to grow and become, and healing can take place. I never cease to wonder at how people can visibly grow when given that space and that value and acceptance. In that space, change happens and captives can be set free. People increase in confidence. Their relationships improve. They're more able to cope with life. They feel less suicidal. This is what happened for Ryan at the end of his counselling. To read it from a different one. "I used to have only one friend, and I didn't like him to play with other kids, so he got fed up with me. I felt lonely a lot then. Now I have a group of friends. Last year I hated sports, but now I like to play football. I was the goalie when we went on our school trip, and I only let in 2 goals. Some things never change. My mum and dad still argue a lot, and that makes me sad. Angry sometimes, and scared. Dad takes me fishing now, and then we like to be together. I show Mum all my stories, and she likes them. When I am older, I want to be a writer, or maybe an architect." I'd just like to tell you a bit about our hopes for the coming years. That's what we're doing now. But we're just aware that with mental health problems increasing, there's just so much more that we as a service could be doing. So we're going to recruit another 4 counsellors over the coming months. And I'm pleased to say we've just interviewed and in the process of recruiting one of those counsellors. We're going to look to move to new premises. I don't know if anybody's ever been in our shop premises, but they're great, wonderful location, but they are now too small because of the work that we're doing. So we're looking for larger premises where maybe we can work with groups of people and do more child therapy. There's so much more we could do with a larger building. We're also looking into the possibility of expanding the children's work that we've been doing. It's had such a positive impact in the school that we want to see if we can do that in another school as well. And also, we're thinking about running an art club after school so that children can increase their confidence through art. There's so much that we could be doing. But you know, we're only here 14 years on because of your help, because of the faithful commitment of Victoria Park Baptist Church and other churches like you and the individuals in them. So I really want to take this opportunity to say thank you. If Crossroads is new to you, there's a number of ways that you can get involved if you want to. You can be on our list of e-prayers, technology again, but we can send out an email just with a few prayers for you to pray for us if you want. Just give me your email address. You can receive our newsletter. I brought along our latest today for you to look at 4 times a year, just to find out about what we're doing and to pray for our work. We're looking for volunteer receptionists, people who can come and sit in the office and answer the phone so that we're accessible to people and we can take more clients on. We're looking for people with any skills, management skills, finance skills. If you think you may have any skills that could be useful for us, perhaps you might get involved. We're also an amazing 1/3 of our income comes through people who give monthly. That's an incredible place to be. It costs us about £50 to provide each session of counselling, and yet most of our clients are on very low incomes and probably can only afford to pay about £3 for their session. So we have to make up the difference. We do that largely by applying for grant income, but we need the extra support. £15 a month would pay for one volunteer counsellor. So that would be 4 clients being seen a week and 188 sessions in a year. So £15 would make a lot of difference. £5 makes a lot of difference. Excuse me, but I lost my place now. Jesus said that his kingship bore no relation to what our world understands by that term. Jesus' power is not about or position or status. It's lived out through relationships and in our relationship with him today. So I wonder if the challenge for us as Christians in a world where technology is making everything so quick is that actually we as Christians invest time in our relationships with people, that we find a place and a space to be present with and to come alongside people and invest that time. People that we, each of us, have the real privilege to meet. Okay, thank you. Oh, just to say, sorry, I forgot, that I will be at the back. So if you want to find out any more, do come and speak to me afterwards. But also you have a church rep here, which is Liz. And Liz is here from week to week. So again, if you want to find out more about what we do, do talk to Liz. Okay, thank you.